Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about transformed in the middle, thinking of three phases: information or input coming in, and then processing and understanding and organizing that information in the middle is where the transformation happens, and then taking the appropriate actions and transforming it on the other side. And it's that transformation in the middle where it often happens. You can think of this in nutrition. Food comes in, it gets metabolized and processed, and then it comes out of the body in the form of energy and work and these types of things. But these three phases of input, transformation in the middle, and then output on the other side, I think getting this middle phase righted is one of the most important things. Because Jesus says, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, and turn or convert that understanding into the appropriate actions, then healing or prosperity, all these other things that we're looking for are on the other side of that. This transformation has to happen in the middle. And often it comes through developing understanding is one of the most important pieces. So we're going to get started. We're going to start with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a 2-minute long prayer, mostly of scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still and to listen, to examine ourselves, and to plan our upcoming day with God. And that's about going about your day, executing, doing the things that you know to do. So let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening and all their families and friends and all those connected to us, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So let's take a couple minutes. We're going to go through the other half of prayer. So the first thing is we got to get positioned in the light, getting our hearts and minds positioned in the light. And we've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. And that happens through forgiveness, through the forgiveness of sins. But that forgiveness has to flow through three levels. We have to receive it from God. We have to give that forgiveness to ourselves, that grace and mercy and forgiveness to ourselves. And then we have to let it flow through us to other people. And so it might be a case where we got to bring some things to God and just talk to him about them. And there might be a case where we have to release some things we've been holding against ourselves, condemning ourselves, or we've been holding on to things that other people have done to us. We got to release some of those things to stay positioned in the light. And then we can stay focused on light. We can begin to magnify that light through gratitude and focusing on what's going well. So if you just take a second here, what are some things that you're grateful for over the last 24 hours? What are some things that you're grateful for over the last 24 hours? And ways that you've seen God coming through, things that are going well, and then how much progress have you made? Looking back over the last day, what steps forward did you make? What progress did you make over the last day? Often we get focused on how far we have to go. But instead, it's better to look how far you've come. It's good to dream and envision and plan with God, but you also need to look at the progress you've made. Look how far he's brought you so far. And you can gain some encouragement from that along the way. And then how is your emotional state over the last 24 hours? How are your levels of peace and joy? That supernatural peace and joy, that peace that surpasses all understanding. The joy of the Lord, which is your strength. I like to think of peace as my indicator of what I'm really magnifying in my life. As I begin to magnify the problems in my life, I can get double-minded in my faith, where I begin to waver and I begin to magnify the problems and make them bigger than what God is capable of in my mind. And that begins to steal our peace. But when we begin to magnify God and focus on him and concentrate on him and magnify him on the inside of us, he grows bigger on the inside. He becomes bigger than the problems that we're facing. And I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm in the present moment, that I'm living in the present moment, and I'm aware of God's presence with me, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And so is there anything that was coming at you in life that was knocking you out of peace and joy? If that's the case, bring in those areas to God, asking him for his help. Say, hey, you know what? What you put in me is more than enough. You are with me and you are more than enough. Help me to tap into what you put on the inside of me, to see that peace and joy that you put in there already, flowing at higher levels. I believe you pray that simple prayer, you're going to see a shift literally in one day in some things. And then, what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what are the things that you know to do, the actions that you know to take? Maybe some things you've been procrastinating on, maybe some administrative things, or just things you say, you know what, I know I need to do that. Any of those things that you know to do, just begin to write them down, make your plan for the day, and begin taking action on them, trusting that God's there with you, helping you to do those things. And then also, what do you want to do? Often God stirs these desires in our lives for things that we're fascinated and motivated and excited to do. What are some of those things? What are the things that you want to happen today? Begin to write those things down as well. And then what is the most important thing that God is teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? I like to think of two areas. One is on one side, corrections and adjustments that we need to make. And then also, he's always leading you with his voice. He's trying to teach you new things. He's trying to give you new direction and vision for your life and lead you to this spacious, beautiful place. And it's his voice that leads you out. So just taking a few minutes to get still and to listen and to follow his leading and begin to write these things down. Begin to record your journey. You know, I think it's probably a month or so ago on one of our partner Zoom calls, we were talking about God has taken us on this path to make us great, where we make his name great, we magnify him and make his name great, and we make the people around us great. But how do we know, what's our indicator that we're on track? And I think if we begin to simply record our journey with God, think about the Israelites going to the promised land, and they recorded the journey. Simply just recording our journey with God, the steps that he's having us take, the things that he's teaching us, you begin to record those. I believe God takes you on this path to make you fruitful, to multiply you, and to increase you greatly, and to make you great, so that you become a blessing to people all over the world and people all around you as well, and to magnify his name. And simply recording the journey, just taking notes of the journey that he's taken you through, because one day, those steps are going to be important to pass on to somebody else. They can gain encouragement and wisdom from the journey that God took you on in your life as well. So I've really been thinking about just the last day, this idea of transformation happening in the middle. Transformation happening in the middle. And yesterday we did the communion meditation on don't go out the same way you came in, about how God, people would come into the temple one way, and they were told to go out on the opposite side. Don't go out the same way that you came in. So in the middle, as they're in the temple, as they're worshiping in the temple, something's happening in the middle. There's a transformation happening in the middle where they go out different from that time. There's a transformation. So you think about nutrition comes into your body. Then it's metabolized, it's processed, and it's converted into energy. It comes out of the body in the form of heat and energy and work, comes out in a different form than it went in. Or a prism, light comes in it slows down, it gets transformed inside of the glass, and on the other side it comes out as a rainbow. So I've been thinking about, there's all these examples you could think of in the area of work or information is coming at you, and then you process it and you understand it and you take the appropriate actions and you get the result on the other side. It's this understanding piece in the middle. Understanding in the middle. And think of it, our walk with God is a very similar type of thing to nutrition, where we're taking in his word, we're taking communing with him, spending time with him, taking in what he's trying to show us. Then we have to process it. We have to understand it and then convert it into the proper actions. And you can think of us, just our physical bodies, as three parts. We're spirit, we're soul, we're physical body. And it's the mind and emotions and will and beliefs in the middle where this understanding and the processing and the conversion happens all in the middle. So information, let's say we're reading God's word, information's coming in. And then we have to filter that. We have to process that. We have to understand it. And then on the other side, so that it can get converted into different behavior, different actions, different steps of faith, changes in our words, changes in our thoughts, changes in our actions. And it's all through our filtering and understanding and processing in the middle, because we could be taking it in, but we're not understanding it in the middle. As Romans 12:2, it says that we are transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the middle, that's where the transformation happens. So this transformation happens in the middle, where in our minds, in our hearts, where we develop understanding in the middle so we can convert it into knowing what to do. As we say, do what you know to do. But to get to where you know what to do at a higher level, we have to understand at a higher level. And I went through about 2 years where one morning God showed me, it was in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, though it cost you everything, though it cost you all, gain understanding. Though it costs you all, gain understanding. And it took me about 2 years. I went through about 2 years of struggling to understand. And what was it that I needed to understand? It was grace. Colossians 1:6 says, the gospel bears fruit in your lives ever since the day you understood God's grace. Understanding his grace, that he is working continually good for you all the time. Even when we feel like we've missed it, he's working for your good. He's trying to continually work to make you great all the time. And developing the understanding of that is how that happens. Now, in our physical bodies, nutrition comes in. We've got digestive organs and all these things that break down our food and begin to digest and assimilate and absorb and metabolize the food that we eat to turn it into energy, to turn it into usable things that our body can use, to make sure our body is running properly. Well, in our spiritual nutrition, this information comes in. I believe the digestive system, the thing that breaks things down and metabolizes it and converts it into understanding, is meditating, meditating on God's word. And in the book of Psalms, it says two things specifically to meditate on. And I forget the exact scripture references right now, but there are two things the Psalms tell us to meditate on that develop understanding in our hearts. Number one is meditating on God's unfailing love. Meditating on God's unfailing love gives us hearts that understand. Meditating on his grace, that he's continually working for your good. Meditating on his love. And then the Psalm says to meditate on his mighty works. His mighty works, that nothing is impossible with him. You begin to meditate on scriptures. You begin to meditate and roll them over. What does it mean to meditate? We're rolling them over. We're pondering them. We're breaking them down. We're metabolizing them by focusing on those scriptures and breaking them down. Meditating on his unfailing love, meditating on his mighty works, meditating on his grace. I believe it gives you this heart that understands. In the middle, and it transforms his word, transforms his word. In the book of Joshua, God told him, meditate on my word day and night, and you'll have good success. Notice it's the meditation in the middle. His word comes in, we meditate it in the middle. On the other side is good success. But that meditation has to convert it in the middle. And so we're just going to have a time of communion here where we just meditate, just focusing and fixing our minds, magnifying our minds on his grace, his unfailing love, and his mighty works. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we thank you that the cup of your wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of your blessing. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for your unfailing love, your steadfast, unfailing love for us, that you loved us so much. You were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty works, that nothing is impossible for you. If you loved us so much, you would send Jesus. How would you not freely give us all things? And Father, we just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it, receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God and holy and perfect. We can have this covenant relationship with God where we can know him. We can have him working in our lives. We can do life together with him." And Jesus said, "This is eternal life," John 17:3, "that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." We just thank you, Lord, for this cup and what it represents. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Just thinking of a scripture right now, talking about meditating on God's grace. One of my favorite ones is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we can abound to every good work." And I found when you got issues and problems coming at you, it looks like more than you can handle sometimes. I'll begin to say that scripture. I'll begin to roll that scripture over in my mind. I'll begin to mutter it and to speak it over and over. "God is able to make all grace abound to me, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, I can abound to every good work." Thank you, Father, for this cup. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. Walking it out and just beginning to meditate. You can begin to meditate on that scripture about God's grace abounding to you, meditating on his unfailing love, that he's with you, that he's for you, that nothing's impossible with him. Begin to meditate on these things. It's going to give you this heart that understands, and that understanding is going to get converted into knowledge on the other side of knowing what to do at the right time. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.